This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
It's a feel-good football Friday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Built Ford Tough studio. Yankees move on to the ALCS. Mets, of course, already in the NLCS, and this is the first time in 24 years they've both been this close together to a Subway Series, and the last time they both met in the Subway Series when they were this close. So this is going to be one hell of a ride the next couple of weeks, and it's going to be against good teams. We'll see how good either the Guardians or the Tigers are, but you know that the Mets will get a challenge from either the Padres or the Dodgers. This is not a cakewalk situation for the New York Mets in any stretch of the imagination. So it's going to be rough. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be edge of your seat. It's going to be another. I mean, there's going to be so many other moments. And if you think about the nutso moments we've gotten already, and we haven't even reached the NLCS, from the Lindor home run in Atlanta to the Alonso home run in Milwaukee to the Lindor home run in Game 4 against the Phillies. There's hopefully more to come.
You know,
man,
as a Met fan, I'm not sure who I want to see. Ohtani and Freeman and Betts. Do I want to see Tatis Jr.? Do I want to see, what's his name, the third base?
Manny Machado.
I mean, like, I don't know what I want to see.
Well, I really don't.
I mean, I feel like the Mets played the Padres tough, you know, that series they split out there in San Diego late in the season. And they do have a winning record over them.
Yeah, I just think overall, when Rod Darling came on here, who is, I trust his opinion on everything baseball more than just about anybody.
When you actually hear it.
No, I'm talking to, yeah, when he was talking to us.
Oh, yes.
He was talking to us, and he was like, you know, San Diego Padres, they're the team. They're the one. And, you know, if the Mets end up playing them, I hope they play them when they're rested and have their rotation in order and stuff like that. And that scares me. I would rather take on the Dodgers. I think their blow-up potential and the fact that they never get it done is big. And I don't know, the Padres have been really, really good. I don't know. I kind of like the idea of Mets Dodgers too. I mean to have that.
Yeah, New York and LA would be great. Man. Yeah, I mean, but although, man, I would love to go to a game at Petco Park. That is my favorite baseball stadium in the entire league.
Really?
Oh, it is so unbelievable. If it weren't in California, it would be the place I'd move to.
San Diego.
Oh yes.
Wow. That's interesting to me.
Well, that baseball park is ridiculous. I mean, I love Arizona, too. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, I love Arizona. But that I say Arizona because San Diego is in California.
Right. True. Yeah. I mean,
it is beautiful. You go there for like a weekend for a baseball game, and you go downtown to that Gaslight area, and you play golf out there at Torrey Pines and Del Mar. I mean,
what's the ocean
great.
Like out there?
It's beautiful. It's
the
gorgeous.
Beaches are nice.
Yeah, the beaches are beautiful.
No, I don't know. Sometimes those California beaches, a lot of syringes, you know.
No, right up in San Diego in the area of, you know, they have the seals on the beaches there and everything.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun. You can go out there and check out the seals and stuff. But it's a great area.
So do you want to, you're telling me that if the Padres win, you want to go out there for games one or two? Is that what you're telling me?
You know, you know what? No, I don't.
Okay.
I mean, but I wish I could, but I can't because of this job.
Well, what do you mean? We could do the job out there.
No, we're not doing the job at 3 a.m. out there.
Oh, okay.
Staying up.
You're the one who brought it up.
No, I said I wish I could. I mean, I'd love to.
You could.
It is a great baseball atmosphere. That's all I'm telling you.
Do we have an Odyssey station out there?
San Diego? We do.
Al says yes.
We do. Doug Gottlieb's old producer. I think,
oh, that's right. Adam Klug. Yeah. He produces that. So, yeah, we could do it. Roll right in there.
I mean, Jerry, I know Jerry has been to the stadium, Petco Park, and he'll tell you the same thing that I'm telling you.
Okay.
And the weather is like it has been around here for like the last 7 weeks. If this is climate change around here, I'm all for it.
Maybe we do like old school Joe and Evan trip where we all stay in the same room.
Yeah. So that's what I was thinking. I was recreating that. Is if the Mets play the Dodgers, that then me, Joe, and Evan go and stay in the same hotel room and just do special broadcasts from there. And I'll just.
Did you guys all dupe in there together?
Well, yeah. What do you mean? What do you? Where else would you dupe?
No,
in the hallway,
down in the lobby or something.
No, all duped. All
I would have sent Joe out of the go to the lobby, kid. Yeah. Now you're not doing it in here.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have that type of power at the time. You know, I was third on the totem pole.
That's like when Eddie and Al were sharing a room. Eddie's snoring, Al sleeping in the bathtub.
Well, because it was our idea to go out there and we wanted to go out there, nothing was paid for. We paid for the entire trips ourselves.
Oh, I see.
So that's why we stayed in the same hotel room. Which
and
is,
then they sponsored it with an airline.
Yeah, which was the greatest thing ever. When I saw that come across, that they weren't paying for anything, and we had to pay for ourselves. And then it's a joke.
And you were actually working out there. Did you actually go, did
yeah,
you go
we
on
did
the
all
air?
The shows, yeah.
Did all we, the shows
we
and
went
everything.
To, we went to, it was CBS Radio at the time, went to CBS Radio LA. We did our shows from there. And I remember handing, you know, Dove says, oh, we got a billboard. The shows got sponsored. And it was Joe and Evan live from LA, brought to you by Delta Airlines. I mean, that was the closest Joe ever came to having a stroke.
So was this Chernoff's call?
Yes. Yeah, well, it was Chernoff. Yeah, I mean, I could kind of understand. Here's the thing. I could understand them saying, no, it's superfluous for you guys to go out there. You're the midday show. It's a May Dodgers-Mets series. But we were also going to the NBA playoffs at the time. And we went to the year prior, we went to the Angels, Mets, and then the NBA Finals, Boston and the Lakers. So, and said, like, this is your trip. You want to do that. It's a midday. We're not getting anything out of this. That's fine if you're going to say that. But then you can't go and sell it to Delta Airlines and tell us that it was worthless. Obviously wasn't worthless.
Yeah.
You know?
And did Joe ever get anything back for that?
As far as I know, no. 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 Almost got arrested at the airport, but I mean...
That would have been great.
Oh, he got randomly.
So basically, searched. You guys took a vacation.
No,
but it was like a working vacation.
Yeah, yeah. We wanted.
You paid for it by yourselves.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Could you have opted out of working and still gone, or did you feel like you had to work because of the significance of the game?
We wanted to. Like it was fun. It was like we'll do the shows. It was. You know, it was 10 to 1 back then, so it was, you know, 7 to 10 out there. And
right.
It was like, so what? We'll do the shows. We'll have enjoy ourselves. It will be a good time. So, yes. Yeah, it was great. It was I absolutely loved those trips out there. I had a blast. Other than the one day I had a complete meltdown in the traffic out there.
Yeah, but you guys had to share a bathroom.
Yeah, but you got to remember, this is 2008, 2009.
Was Joe smoking on the ledge outside or blowing smoke out the window?
Yeah.
Oh, that would drive me crazy. I'd throw him out the window.
Yeah. Yeah, we smoked weed together on the balcony.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Trips, yeah. And then there was an earthquake. And then, like, I felt a little something.
What year was that?
2008, I think. It was either 8 or 9. So we were out there. And then, like, I felt like a little something. I was like, huh? And then Evan comes, like, flying out of the sliding glass door, like flying out. It's like, oh my God, did you feel that? Oh, it's an earthquake. What do we do? And Beningo goes, I didn't feel a freaking thing, bro.
Yeah, because it was high.
Yeah, it turned out to be, yes, that was the joke. That was, but that it turned out to be like a 6 something on the Richter scale. And we had no, like, I felt like a.
That was crazy because I happened to be in an earthquake in 2001 in the fall.
Really?
Yes. And I was interviewing John Madden via satellite. For Fox Sports Net,
okay.
When I was working for Fox Sports Net,
mm-hmm.
And we were on the air, and actually Gunner was with me with a friend of mine who was watching Gunner, and I told them, you know, get the hell out of the studio, but I'm on the air doing an interview.
Yeah, right. And that is not being around earthquakes. It was very
disconcerting.
Yeah, I mean, we felt the one here, which was like that. I really. Well, that was the one. I was actually in my car and I couldn't understand what the hell was going on. Because, like, I see, like, these the road, like, moving, and I'm like, am I losing my mind? And then I look up and see the glass. It was a big glass building, and it looked like it was, like wind was moving the windows. And I'm like, the wind can't be moving the windows like that. And the next thing you know, I'm getting, did you feel that? Earthquake. Those are bizarre.
Well, the good news is that Manhattan is pretty much all granite. So we should be okay.
No, there is a fault line that runs underneath.
There's the fault line. Sorry, dummies. No, hold on.
That was a right, Eddie.
No, actually, you're wrong. It's a full time right here. If you'd like to see it after the show, I can bring you over there and give me cash version. We could do that. A little bit better being built on the old granite fault line than the sand fault line. Yes, no, maybe.
Say again.
A little better to be built into the granite as opposed to the sand when you are near a fault line.
Well, this isn't a subduction zone like it is in California.
Idiot.
That's the whole thing. It's about subduction zones. I told you.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to understand this.
Subduction zones. All right. Let's get back to these calls. Go to Mike in Monroe. What's going on, Mike?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
All right, Mikey. What's happening?
First and foremost, San Diego's beautiful. Lived there for 7 years. You ain't wrong, Boomer. And yep. Petco Park is I wanted to talk about Lieutenant Dan. So, I'm a TikTok junkie, as many are these days. And so Aiden Ross, who, if you're not familiar, is a partial owner of Kick, which is a streaming service. Mm. So he initially offered the $100,000 to Lieutenant Dan, and then he was going to buy him a new boat.
Okay.
And upon finding out his past, he was like, what is going on here? I can't do this. And that was all rumors, that portion. Aiden Ross came out yesterday and talked again to Lieutenant Dan. They went live streaming. Said, listen, your past is your past. Everybody learns from their mistakes. And he is still getting, allegedly, the $100,000 as well as boat. And they were talking wire transfer yesterday, and that was the latest update. So,
yeah, wow. Well, he's going to, guess what? He's going to have to pay taxes on that. Right, yeah. That's another reason to probably arrest him. Wow. I mean, like, a second chance is one thing. I mean, 14 second chances?
Yeah, and then I saw some rumors out there, Mike, that, like, there were some really, really bad crimes, but I don't think that was true, like, sort of, like, sexual of nature crimes.
Were these, like, crimes against humanity?
Yeah. Not
no. Well, trying to immolate someone is not a crime bad enough
no,
for
no,
you?
No. But it was, like, it is bad enough, but I'm talking about, trust me, it was, like, the things that you get killed for in prison stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, involving
pedophilia,
children.
Yeah, right.
So, like,
right. So what happened was it was false, right? The internet's a crazy place. Completely different person, completely different name. And that spiraled out of control. So I think the initial allegations, which were still bizarre and out of this world, were not as bizarre as what you are talking about. Some of those were pretty extreme. That was not him. And he said, that's not me. That's a completely different name. I don't know what's going on here. So Lieutenant Dan might get his boat.
He might get his boat. Thanks, right. Mike, for the update. You know, maybe somebody took his leg.
What do you mean?
Maybe, you know, in prison.
Oh.
And they hacked his leg off.
No, that was... Someone didn't take his leg in prison. No, he was not. He was not involved.
How did
he
lose his leg?
I don't know. I'm not sure. We should ask that guy because he seemed to be on top of it. I don't
Is
know.
Is he a veteran?
I don't believe
so. Did he come back with PTSD or something?
I don't. You should ask that guy. I don't know.
All right, I'm sorry.
I
thought you were knee deep into this thing.
I mean, I was deep enough. And then when I found out that he was a total criminal, you know, loser, I was like, okay, now I'm out on this. I just need to now tell the audience about that if I hadn't seen it. All right, let's go to Don. Oh, this is a guy from Island Wide Weather. It's my snowfall guys in the winter. What's up, Don? How are you?
What's up, brother? How you been?
Doing great, man. I know you're all fired up about the Mets.
Fired up about the Mets. Fired about the Northern Lights last night. It's a lot to be excited about, man.
Yeah, I saw that. Did you get a chance to take a look at that last night, Boomer? The Northern Lights out outside? No.
No, I didn't see the Northern Lights.
It was cool.
I saw the Northern Lights when I was in Norway.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Not all of us get those opportunities to see them in Norway, so it was kind of cool. And you look north on Green Avenue, and took pictures, saw some pictures of it. So I was on a fjord. Yeah. Yeah, man, it's a good time of year for you, Don.
Absolutely. I want to talk about the Mets briefly, not about weather, but I have a funny suspicion that if they play the Padres, they're going to struggle. I really want them to play the Dodgers. They played the Padres this year, but without Tatis. I really don't like the Padres pitching staff against the Mets. I really want them to play the Dodgers. Want to get your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, Musgrove is hurt, so that's something that is at least a positive. But yeah, I've been saying the Dodgers the whole time. I know Evan put out a poll. Who do you want to see, the Dodgers or the Padres? 70% of Mets fans said the Dodgers as well. So I'm with you. I mean, I think, and there's something about the Dodgers' lack of success in these big situations year after year, and only having one COVID World Series, where it's like you don't take them seriously regardless of the players that they have on the team. But this obviously is the first time that they have Ohtani, so it's a little bit different, and it feels like the Padres are kicking into gear. They just got a little bit more energy. They feel more like one of those teams that the Mets are, that are on a positive roll. So yeah, I want to be the
Dodgers.
They
just lost 10-0 to a bullpen game.
The Padres did, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Mean, so, you know, they're not on a roll like the Mets are. The Mets haven't lost a game 10-0. In this run, this has been competitive. Every game has been competitive. Yeah, they've had a meltdown here or there late in games that have cost them a game. But you know, to me, the Mets are playing really solid baseball, man, for every angle of it. So, I mean, their bullpen is a little bit shaky, I will say that, but their starting pitching has been amazing.
Yep, it has.
And I'd be careful for what you wish for, man. Just let these two teams play it out, and hopefully, like somebody said yesterday, it goes into extra innings and everybody gets exhausted.
Yeah, of course.
And hopefully the Mets aren't partying too much.
No, I don't think that they are.
They're going to have a watch party together as a team tonight?
No. I mean, I think that they're getting their rest. They're spending their time with their families that haven't been able to. They're getting their rehab in. I think that they're focused, man. You hear from their leader, Francisco Lindor. He's like, this is just another step. It's another step to where we want to get to be. So.
That is the perfect mindset.
Yeah.
So I can't argue with that.
No. Although you've been arguing with everything lately because you're grumpy.
No, I haven't.
Just a real grumpster over there.
No, I haven't. With everything. No. That's what happens when you're up late and you're tired and you're watching games.
Yeah. Well, I mean, these are choices.
I had to go back and watch the Ranger game totally.
Okay.
Because I was in and out. Don't like being in and out. And my damn Budweiser goal light goes off before they score a goal. I have to sync that up somehow.
All right, but we're in GM on the fan. You want to talk about first world problems.
Another technology problem.
Yeah, that's right. For the grumpy old man.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
The road to New Orleans. With Boomer and Geo is presented by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. Whoever wins on Monday night between the Jets and the Bills will be a little bit closer to getting to that destination via the road to New Orleans. They'll be at first place in the AFC East. Our picks will be coming up an hour from now. You have to be listening this hour to hear the John Sterling drop we gave you last hour to get the Yankees tickets, game one of the ALCS. We've got another pair of Giants-Bengals tickets in the 9 a.m. hour, and we've got Jerry Recco right now. What's up, Jerry?
What is up? We're brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. And it is the Yankee morning as they advanced into the ALCS. There wasn't a ton of offense, but there was just enough.
Here's a 2-2. A ground ball at the middle, base hit, center field, a hot shot. Judge scores, Stanton at first with a ribby single, and the Yankees take a 3-0 lead.
And that was John Sterling with a call right here on the fan, or right up the middle with the ground ball off, or rather beyond the drawn-in infield. Yankees beat the Royals 3-1, take the series 3-1. Obviously, Stanton has been a talking point during the season. He's been really good. He was asked about his offense against KC.
How would you describe your series?
Over, and we need a new one and be ready to go.
That's it. That was right there.
Big
on
Balloon Fest.
On yes.
You can sit on my face.
Here was Juan Soto, who had an early RBI single after Gleyber Torres led the game off with a double. Very happy with the fast start.
It's great. It's part of the team. We have to be aggressive with a guy like that because he's pounding the zone and he's trying to get his changer in a good spot. So we just came aggressive, tried to get the runs that can get the lead early and try to win the game.
Garrett Cole went seven innings for the win. Clay Holmes and Luke Weaver closed it out. I was going to call him Luke Cleavage.
Oh, man.
Here was Cole. Nice win. This was on Yes, but it's just a step.
We got a lot of work to do. I mean, we're going to face a really tough opponent, so it's going to come down to playing together as a unit and just, you know, continue to try to improve on the brand of baseball that we're playing.
Didn't even sound like
him. You sure that was Garrett Cole?
Nope. That's how it's listed.
Wow. Sounded like somebody else.
Yeah, I don't think it was him.
It did not sound like
but
him.
But I do like what he's saying, too. Hey, whoever this is that just is. One step to the promised land.
Here was Judge on Yes, pretty sure this is him. This is a special group.
You know, a lot of guys from different teams, you know, acquired some big names, and, you know, they fit right in. You know, any guy that comes over here and wears these pinstripes, they're meant to be a Yankee, so... It's a special group.
You know, they weren't wearing pinstripes last night,
they
right?
They weren't. They were wearing the different version of your sweater.
No, as a matter of fact. Let me just figure. So, yeah. When they wear New York on their chest.
Yeah, you got the same font.
What color are they wearing?
Gray.
What color is the jersey?
Gray.
What color is my jersey? Yankee
blue. Sweatshirt? Yankee blue.
No, it's not Yankee
And then you've got the Yankee font.
It's not.
Written
it's not
in New
the
York
Yankee
across
font.
The chest.
It's a New York font, and it's... Abercrombie and Fitch, and they weren't selling it to Yankee fans.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Here was Bobby Witt. So the Yankees win. They obviously do the celebrating in Kansas City. What was it like watching all that?
It's just motivation. That's where we want to be, and so just got to keep working, get better each and every day. And so I think the best is yet to come for this team. We showed. I don't think we were supposed to be in this situation here, but we were. So it's just we got a special team. So.
Everybody's got a special team, so perhaps better in the future for them. The Yankee bullpen, by the way, 15 and two-thirds scoreless innings.
Amazing.
Not in the game, but obviously in the series, so pretty damn good. They will take on either Cleveland or Detroit in the ALCS.
I love the nightlife, and I like to boogie.
Game one will be Monday. Now, yesterday in that game, Cleveland was down. David Fry hit the go-ahead home run, and then how about a little small ball from the Guardians and Fry to extend the lead?
He squares to bunt, safety bunt, coming home with it, backhanded flip, the tag on Rocchio, not in time! He's in with a head-first slide! They pulled off a safety squeeze, and a beauty of a bunt by David Fry!
Don't see that very often these days in Major League Baseball, so that was kind of cool.
Love the safety squeeze.
Tom Hamilton on Guardians Radio, yep. So they advance, here's A.J. Hinch, his team, which has been so good since mid-August, going back to Cleveland for a fifth game, will be all right.
Our guys will be able to reset, and we'll pack tonight. We'll get on a plane tomorrow. We'll go have a short workout and get the opportunity to do it on their turf.
And that'll be on Saturday night, and then again, you'll get game one Monday at Yankee Stadium. Tonight, game five NLDS with the Padres and the Dodgers from L.A. It is Darvish and Yamamoto, the starters, the winner there taking on the Mets in the NLCS. To football, Jets interim head coach Jeff Ulbrich named Todd Downing the offensive play caller, so Nathaniel Hackett gets demoted. The players were talking for most of them are talking for the first time since the firing of Robert Saleh. Here is Garrett Wilson, his thoughts when he got the word.
Obviously, he believed in me, was part of the staff that brought me in here. Probably a huge part of that, and just to have a coach that valued my opinion and would sit down and talk to me like that, and the way the conversations we had, and getting to know his family, and just knowing what it means to him, it hurts.
Here was Aaron Rodgers.
Hey, listen, at the end of the day, it's all about results.
Yeah,
that's what it comes down to. It comes down to results, and it comes down to an impatient owner. And look, I thought Woody Johnson showed a lot of patience with Rob Saleh over the last 4 years, 3.5 years.
Well, if they hadn't gotten Aaron Rodgers, he would have been gone prior to this. There's no doubt about it. And they gave him a shot, and what he saw in those five games didn't look much different than before Aaron Rodgers was here and when he was hurt.
And Rodgers was asked if he feels responsible for Saleh being let go.
I take that very personally. You know, that's what I can control. I have the ball in my hands every play. So, obviously, it's been on my mind with a heavy heart for the last few days, for sure.
Rodgers asked about Hackett and the demotion.
How is Nathaniel doing?
You should ask him.
We're not able to.
Okay.
I would. I don't think we're talking to him, to be honest with you.
I love Nathaniel. I mean, he's one of my dearest friends in the league, and obviously a tough situation, but I think it speaks volume to the character that he has, that he wanted to stick around, be here for me, be here for Todd, support Todd.
Be here for me.
That's a couple of times I heard, you know, wanted to stick around.
Yeah.
You know,
I think they offered. They probably offered him, like, you know, we're going to demote you, and if you don't want to be here and you're going to be a negative influence on things, then, you know, you can resign if you'd like. And he probably said, no, I want to stay here. I want to be with Aaron. I want to be with this team. I want to see this team turning around. So I think that's more about what they're talking about. Mm. I think they probably offered him.
Yeah, it was Olbrich and Rogers. So yes. Obviously that's from the top there. Yeah, interesting.
I mean, because he's going to have to stick around, and, you know, everybody knows he's now been demoted. And normally when you keep somebody internally within whatever you're doing, I don't care if it's a sports team, could be a radio station, you demote somebody and you keep them around, what do you think the morale of that person's going to be like?
Yeah, probably not good.
And you potentially could have a mole in the building. You know, somebody that's unhappy with management or thinking that, you know, they're the reason that this is happening to them, the Jets' failures are his fault, that kind of thing. So that's why I think it's not surprising that those guys are saying what they're saying about Nathaniel Hackett staying here.
Here was Sauce Gardner. How is Olbrich now with the promotion that he has gotten?
You know, we were joking with him a little bit. We were like, oh, you become the head coach, y'all, you acting different, stuff like that. Just trolling him. But nah, man, he's the same person.
He's the same person. They all seem to speak glowingly about
him. Yeah, and by the way, like, okay, so here, okay, we all feel bad that Rob Saleh's gone. Now let's bust this guy's chops.
Yeah.
You know, we're all back to normal again. Like, the football team, you know, I think they'll see a bump here. I really do. And I think that's a good thing. And I think Woody Johnson did this because he wanted to save the season. And now, the chances of saving the season under a situation like this usually aren't that good. But you do have a legitimate quarterback with really good players on both sides of the ball that maybe with just a little bit of reorganization on offense is going to help.
Yeah, the bump they're going to see is Aaron Rodgers driving over Rob Saleh's body there. One jet drive.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
It is it's like a microcosm of life, though, isn't it?
What's that?
We love this guy. We love this guy. He's fired. See ya. Oh, we love this guy. We just keep on going.
Yes, you have to.
Way, right?
You have no choice.
Ain't going to stop.
Keep on going.
Niners beat the Seahawks 36-24. Brock Purdy, 255 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. 2 of them go to George Kittle. Debo Samuel, 102 yards receiving and a 76-yarder for a score as well. In terms of Seattle, you were talking last hour how, you know, they started 3-0 against not-so-great teams, now 0-3 in their last 3. Here was Geno Smith. We have to improve.
We need to get better at a lot of things. I mean, that's the reality. We need to get better. We need to find ways to win. Whatever the bread and butter is, we got to collectively come up with that answer and get to it.
Yeah, couldn't get the stops when they needed last.
Three competent quarterbacks, some better than others, Brock Purdy and Daniel Jones, and basically beat them. Mm-hmm. And they had no answer for them defensively, which is really shocking because Mike McDonald, their new head coach, was the defense coordinator for the Ravens.
That was Kyle Juszczyk's wife.
I figured.
Yeah, she's from Long Island. Yeah.
Is she really?
Yeah.
He went to Harvard.
Good.
Great. Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott with the media Thursday.
Oh.
Did you see this footage yesterday?
Of his house?
About his house being completely demolished.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I guess, I don't know if it was helicopters, drones, I don't know what it was, but there was a lot of coverage of this, and he made it clear that he wasn't buying it.
I think it's crazy the coverage that it got. Being frank, you know, trying to live keep my personal life, build a home or a place or have a property that, you know, I'm about to raise a daughter and a family there, that I truly don't appreciate the drones, the extra videos, and honestly, the conversation of it.
And I saw something, I didn't get a chance to read into it. The dude Perfect guy said something to do with this. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
Okay.
Wow.
I know they're social media popular. Group that do a lot of different sports things,
yes,
and everything else. They got millions and millions of followers. I did not see that, but I'm going to look it up now.
Okay, very good. Anyway, they play the Lions Sunday at 4:25. The Utah Hockey Club beat the Islanders in overtime 5-4, spoiling the Islanders' season opener. The Devils wound up losing to the Maple Leafs 4-2 after getting down 3-0, and you had the Lynx beat the Liberty 95-93, game one of the WNBA
17,000 people at that Liberty game,
nice,
by the way.
Very nice.
And that was an overtime game, and supposedly I talked to two people that went to that game last night. They said it was an amazing atmosphere.
And I think the Liberty blew it an 18-point lead.
Yeah, I know. And unfortunately, it's a very sad atmosphere when the game was over, but there's goes to show you that, you know, even if Caitlin Clark's not on the court, that maybe you can actually sell out a building.
What is the finals?
Yeah, I know. And it was a good game. Really good game.
All right, Jerry?
Yep.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. All right, big deal, kind of a big deal, or not a deal at all. Those are your three options, right? Malik Nabers has been dealing with his concussion. He has not played. I don't believe he's expected to play on Sunday night against the Bengals either because of at least where he's at in the protocol. And maybe he gets cleared, but I haven't seen anything yet that suggests that that is going to happen. And he was at a Travis Scott concert at MetLife Stadium. I guess it was either yesterday or the day before. Big deal, kind of a big deal, not a deal at all.
I don't think it's a good look if you have a concussion that you're at a concert. I'm sorry. You know, the noise, the lights, everything else that supposedly that you're dealing with when you have a concussion, that you don't need to be putting yourself in that situation. So I kind of do find it a big deal. But then that also tells me that he's probably going to play against the Bengals. And you know, there are five steps that every player has to go through. That's the protocol. Mm-hmm. He got through two of those steps last week. He's got to go out on the field. He's got to go through practice. He's got to be okay. He's got to feel stable.
Yeah, number four is to be able to attend a concert without a headache.
Well, there you go. So he goes to the concert. He's under the protocol. I would think that he's playing this week.
Yeah, well, and I will say, so my answer to it is if he doesn't play,
then it's a big deal, right?
It's a big deal. But if he does play, it's like, okay, well, he's gotten better, and now he's ready to do his job and play. So we will see. I mean, that MetLife Stadium, man, they can pump out a concert, I'll tell you that much.
They can. They can, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, again, last night, Thursday Night Football, lots of injuries, lots of points.
Mm.
I just think that the Thursday Night Football product, I guess, for fantasy football is probably great because there are a lot of guys putting up numbers and things of that nature. But I'm just, you have to worry about the injuries, and I know that the NFL tends to push back on that thought process, but for the guys who can't play on Thursday because it's a short week, and for the guys who decide to play on Thursday and end up getting hurt,
yeah,
it's a real thing for the NFL, and I understand that it's all about eyeballs, and it's all about being a popular sport and everybody watching it, and certainly Prime has paid a big penny to be able to do this, but I don't know what the answer is. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't think that there's enough people complaining about it or enough players complaining about it to make a change. And obviously the money that they're getting from Amazon is huge. So something drastic would have to change for them to reconsider Thursday Night Football. Andy in New Haven, what's going on, Andy?
Good morning, gentlemen. First of all, I want to wish everybody a very happy Columbus Day. In my opinion, best weekend of the year, like the 4th of July of the fall, in my opinion. Best weather, great sports, great holiday, etc. So happy Columbus Day. Wishing everyone all the best. In the spirit, a couple of us are traveling west. A few buddies and I were road tripping to beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin. And we'll be at Lambeau Field on Sunday, first time ever. Playing a little golf, long weekend, enjoying the beautiful weather. I'm curious if you guys have any Green Bay area recommendations or a favorite story, maybe, Boomer, from your playing or broadcasting day.
Yeah, I don't have any stories for you, but I know they have Campfire Fridays right there at Tidal Town, and then you can also go to the Superhero Academy. That's going to be on the green lawn on Saturday. They have Fall Faves. They also have Tidal Town Game Day Live. So there's a lot of stuff to do. So if you just go to TidalTown.com, you'll see exactly what you can do and what you can come up with.
Yeah, I mean, just drink, eat cheese, play golf, go home.
They're going to miss Pumpkin Palooza, though.
Yeah, and I saw that on your screen there, October 19th, Pumpkin Palooza.
Yeah, 10 to 4 p.m. Look at all those pumpkins, man. I mean, Pete Alonso would love this.
I was there once when you brought me there. I stayed in a hotel room and waited till the car took us to the stadium, and that was it.
But no, but Titletown now has been totally revamped around Lambeau Field. First, they redid Lambeau Field, then they bought all the land around it. And they put in some nice hotels, some nice restaurants. They got the football field there for high school football games and junior football games and flag football games. And then they have, look, they got Pumpkin Palooza. It doesn't get much better.
Yeah, right. It's a nice little Midwest feel. And here's a quick story for you. He's looking for a story from Green Bay. Just to give you a piece of the very long story that I'm not going to give you about when Boomer took me to that game. But we were standing on the field prior to the game. And it was me, Boomer, and Ron Jaworski. Talking quarterbacks, and I've told this before, but maybe the caller hadn't heard it. And Ron Jaworski called both Matt Leinart and Vince Young the C word. That was what he used to describe those two players. That was a long time ago. Long time ago, you could say these things, but yeah, he was. He goes, "You want to know who's the C?"
Yeah, I know. And I looked at you, and I go, "Oh boy." I mean, I wouldn't necessarily know that I would characterize them with that word, but. I would say that they were a little bit fragile. Yes.
Yeah, but I tell you, that was, you got to remember where I am in my life at that point, too. Like, I didn't have a lot of those experiences. I'm in my 20s. I got whisked away into Boomer life, spit out onto Lambeau Field, ready to watch Aaron Rodgers' first start against my football team on Monday Night Football in a Steve Hutchinson jersey that I had to change out of. I got a WFAN polo instead because I wasn't allowed to wear my Steve Hutchinson jersey on the field. And there I am. And I, like, I got to give you guys credit. You kept me in the conversation. Like, you would say stuff, and then, like, you'd wait for me to say something. And then you were just, it was, like, kind of cool. And then all of a sudden, you know, Ron Jaworski, he had those strong opinions about Matt Leinart and Vince Young.
Yeah, I think he was doing ESPN at that point.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe he was doing, like, some hits for ESPN.
That was one of my, like, that is, that's a top 10. Like, him unloading on those guys, that was just, I could not stop laughing.
You know, I'm glad that I'm a part of your top 10. Just sports, that I'm in,
like,
there.
Sports things? Yeah.
I mean, that's what, is it a top 10 sports thing? Because you didn't say that. You just said it's a top 10.
No, it's a top 10 sports thing.
Oh, top 10 sports thing.
Would also top 10 be Marv commenting on Boomer in real life? Marv Albert?
Yeah,
that's one of my favorites that you tell.
That's the same trip. So could, like, the same trip be? Could you put different levels of that?
But yeah, so it was. We're leaving the parking lot. It's traffic. We can't get out of there. Boomer has had it. You know, he's been up all morning. He's did the game, and he's been to Green Bay before many times. And we're in this limo on the way to the airport to get on the plane. And Marv Albert, who called the game with Boomer, is now in the limo with us. And Boomer starts going off about the traffic. Every effing time we come here, it's the same thing. We gotta find a better way to get out of here. This is the same thing. We're gonna be here an hour. I gotta be up. I gotta be on the radio at 6 a.m. For God's sakes. And Marv goes, as if he was calling a game, Boomer! Lashing out! I mean, just the greatest. Like Jordan heating up.
Oh, man, I love working with Marv.
Yeah, that whole trip was amazing. Absolutely amazing.